Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina and I am coming in hot.
You are hotter than hot. You are on fire right now. I cannot help but smile when you do that. I don't know why. I hope everyone else is smiling because it lights me up. My name is Jen and I need to check in so I don't check out.
Good morning, Jen. This is episode 2 of season 2, and the title of this episode is Sacred and Mundane. And I'm loving and excited about this episode, as I usually am, but I'm excited about this one particularly because we talk about fresh stuff, fresh conversations coming off the press. At the end of our recording last week, Jen and I continued the conversation and this came up. So we're excited to share some of the things that we shared with each other, for how we start our days, womanhood, all kinds of things, right? So let's talk about it. So Jen, let me do your temp check.
And let's talk about it.
What's your daily ritual temp check?
Daily ritual temp check. So I just want to put in there that after we finish recording on Tuesdays, our weekly ritual is that we just continue to talk for another hour because that's how much we love each other. So we'll just go on with our lives, basically. So I'm either starting to prep dinner because I don't start work for another hour after we stop recording. So I either go into prepping dinner or I put on my bathing suit and I go lay outside in my yard and we just continue to talk. So the way that this episode came about is that we were talking about basically womanhood rituals, of which I have basically none, but that you were trying to inculcate your daughters with these ideas about womanhood. And that's so fascinating to me because it's also so foreign to me, but I also very much recognize its reality all around me. So I thought this would be such a fun thing to talk about. So my daily ritual temperature is, I'm going to go outdoor temp. It is 80. I'm feeling really good today. I just, because of our conversation yesterday, maybe started to realize how much I need to take care of my things and be more regular because I'm not very regular. I was thinking this morning as I was driving to the car wash, I think it's been 3 weeks since I even thought about the fact that I receive mail into my mailbox. That's how inconsistent of an adulter I am.
Like, you don't have a routine.
No, I don't have very many routines. I have some daily routines, which we'll get into, but I don't have a very structured life. So I realized that I can't even actually remember the last time I walked to the mailbox. And then yesterday, because I guess it occurred to me in the back of my mind, wow, we must have a lot of mail now. And then the mail appeared, actually, because I guess Herschel remembered to check it. So the mail appeared on the island. And so I did go through it and I paid a bill and I did whatever. But sometimes I just black out. Completely sober. I just black out. I know. And then I was thinking other rituals. So I was just having a conversation last weekend with Luke and he was saying that he cleans his molding. His molding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I have cleaned my molding exactly 0 times. And then that day that I was telling you guys about when I was, how I had lied and then I was going into a panic attack because it felt so bad in my system that I started cleaning in an anxious way, which I never do. And I pulled the bed out to vacuum under the bed, which I rarely do. And then I caught a glimpse of that molding. And the molding, which is white, was covered in dust. And dust is one thing I've never done anything about. I've never dusted. I don't own a feather duster or anything like that. And then I was talking to Luke about it and he was basically like, yeah, I clean my molding. And I was like, what? How often? And he said, get this, every other month.
Wow, that is a lot. I'm more of an every 3 month girl.
I mean, if you're doing it every 3 months, that is excessive. I mean, not excessive, more power to you because your house must be immaculate. But I've done it 0 times in 5 years. Then I was thinking about the toilet. I've cleaned the toilet, I'm going to say 5 times in 5 years.
Wait, huh?
I know. But I mean the sides of it.
Like the bottom, the base.
Yes.
Wiping every part of it down.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I haven't learned that skill because what I don't understand is what is all that lint? What is that? And
there's
how do you
no
get it off?
No such thing. I mean, you spray it down. You spray it down and you have, I have special, well, I'm a wipe girl, which is probably not good for the, you're going to say it's
you
probably
know that's not
good for the environment, but I can't.
Why not just use a rag?
Because then you're going to have to use the same rag that you used on the toilet on something else.
I know, but I hear what people do is that they do all the dirty things at once, and then they do a laundry of just the dirty rags.
Well, I used to do that, now, and I could go back to that. But so there's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm a cross-contamination. My thoughts are about
cross-contamination. I know you are. We haven't gotten completely into it because the episode where you talk about your Howard Hughes-ness is one of the lost episodes, but we'll do that. Maybe we'll hear about it again. We probably will.
So
but,
strange.
I realized that I don't have enough structure in my life. And mm-hmm. so but that brought me to the car wash because I mm-hmm. think I've washed this car one time ever. So I thought, why don't I just kick it off? I know. Why don't I just kick it off with a little adulting since I know we're doing daily rituals? And because those are the areas that I'm weak in daily rituals. But uh-huh. like I said last week, I do have a daily ritual of every single night without fail, when I put the kids to bed, I sit down on the couch with my cup of tea and I sit there and I drink the tea and that's it. So I do have that transition ritual into mm-hmm. rest and I do that every night. I also have a daily ritual of writing in the morning, journaling in the morning, mm-hmm. which I go on and off of, but I did do it today. I've been picking it back up lately. I do this thing called Morning Pages from the Artist Sway, which is a book, which basically you do a meditative writing, so you just basically scrape off the top level of consciousness. You just write exactly what comes to mind the second that you wake up. Mm-hmm. And whenever
that's really
I am
good.
Consistently, oh, it's so good. And whenever I'm consistently doing morning pages, I've never been more empowered and focused and intentional in my life than when I'm doing morning pages. I bought my house when I was doing morning pages, which was a tough thing to navigate. And I mm-hmm. just felt so centered, so aware, so focused. It just, because you mm-hmm. get really clear on just what's important. And then I always do an intention prayer at the end where I always say, God or whatever equivalent there is to God, please guide me, please help me stay open. And then I always talk to Uncle Bob and I say, Uncle Bob, please help me enjoy every moment. And then I go off with my day. And
wow.
it always sets me off on the right foot. So I do have that ritual. It's a long-standing ritual. I've been doing that for years. The middle of the day is basically a disaster. It's a free-for-all. But I have morning rituals and night rituals. And also, just last thought, once many, many years ago, I was at a coffee shop with a bunch of women, and it became clear that they all had nighttime rituals, mm-hmm. bedtime rituals. So they had... And I bet you do too.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of insane.
And it never occurred to me to have a bedtime ritual. So one person, it was take a shower, wash their face, put on some type of skincare thing. Another mm-hmm. person, it was this lavender eucalyptus lotion or something like that and a full glass of water. Another person, it was a candle and music. Everybody had their own ritual, and that blew my mind that people would be so routine oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been regimented. So it's just, this is a new thing for me that I'm really enjoying integrating into my life because I do thrive within structure. And that is me. I just think I always wished I was a different way. So I never bothered to cultivate that. But now I'm returning to who I am and discovering who I am. And I'm super routine oriented. So this is a joy to institute all these little practices that bring me joy throughout the day. I do have a bedtime ritual with my daughter. This is the actual last thing I'm going to mention, which is that when I put her to bed, so Herschel mostly puts her to bed and I put my son to bed, but right now it switches off. But last night Herschel went out, so I was putting her to bed and she gets her, we read her books. She does the wood chips, the tea for my
That's
tea. So I
so
heat my tea and I
to
make
me, the wood
it.
Chips.
So we go into her bedroom, we get into her bed, and we sing two songs. Usually she wants the Notorious B.I.G. Hypnotize is one of them.
That's freaking hilarious.
Yes, yes. And then recently she's been wanting Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Oh, that's funny.
It's July.
It's July.
Yes. But she wants Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and we sing it. And then she says, okay. And then we go, bye-bye, butterfly. And then she says, bye-bye. And then a bunch of different things. Bye-bye, jingle bells. Bye-bye, fa-la-la. And she says, bye-bye, everything. Bye-bye. She says, finger minger, but she means pink flamingo. And then she goes,
that's funny.
And then she looks at me and she goes, leave.
Oh.
I know.
Is that because it's time for you to leave the room?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
I know. She kicks me out. And then that's it. And then I go drink my tea. So that's my transition into rest every single night. And then recently my ritual at night is to watch This Is Us. Sometimes I'm watching Love Island UK. Sometimes I'm just hanging out, watching. If it's football season, I'm watching football. So I have lots of delightful rituals. What about you, my friend? What's your ritual temp?
Can I just say that I love that the ritual that you do have is one of self-care, one of care, one of transition into rest.
Oh, yeah.
And, big and on sacred self-care. Time. So
two, my morning and my night.
Yeah. If you had to have one, let it be that. Okay.
Right?
My temperature, my ritual temperature is probably, I'm actually in a perfect season with that because I love, and I don't know if you people have already picked up on that, I'm probably very ritual oriented.
I think they have, yeah.
So let me just give you an idea. In the morning,
okay. Paint me a picture.
I brush my teeth at least twice a day. So in the morning, I use my water pick. Okay. I mean, not my water pick. I use my electric toothbrush in the morning because you have to, you know, get all the gunk off for the night. I have to wash my retainers and all this and that. I wash my face. I have a whole ritual for face washing, but it has to happen like kind of first thing because it sets the tone for my day. So the washing my face and brushing my teeth, like I'm not running up on the mail person at the mailbox because I live in a town where everybody waves and speaks and all this and that. And I'm not doing that with cute. A nasty mouth and a crusty face, right? And so, I use my electric toothbrush in the morning. I use my manual toothbrush at night, but I also use my water pick at night because you've consumed all this food and all this and that, and you don't want any debris left over. And so I use my water pick at night. That is very much ritualistic. It's very much routine. And I feel like breaking it up in that way, like I don't want to use my water pick in the morning because what am I water picking if you took care of it last night, right? But it's just the way that I do things. And at night, when it comes to washing my face, if I wore makeup, I have a whole new face scrubbing, moisturizing. I have to put on my niacinamide. I have to put on my azelaic acid. I have to use hyaluronic acid, glycolic acid. So is it glycolic acid? So I have to use all the things. But if it's a day that I kind of went bare-faced, which is most days if I'm not leaving the house, then I'm just kind of going over my face with witch hazel just to cleanse the day off. And then I'll just put on a light layer of moisturizer. It doesn't have to be all of that involved. But if I wore makeup, then I have to cleanse and freshen, refresh, you know, and heavily moisturize. So when I say my routine, and then even like washing. So I kind of, because I'm an entrepreneur and, you know, most of my days, I'm very structured in the way that I do my day. So it's like 5 a.m., wake up. And this part is new because since I've been back from California, because remember before I left to go and deal with my brother's funeral, I kind of talked about having a very haphazard way of waking up because I just didn't have as many demands early morning.
It was
meetings.
Not working for you.
But that was not working because productivity was suffering for me. And I just have to work a certain way. So I'm back to a very, very structured time, waking up at 5, in prayer until 7. I'm doing Bible study from 10 until 10. And then from 10, I'm spending time like doing things around the house, spending time with my friend. I'm just doing things, right? And then once I'm like cleared, like there's no distractions. Like this is when I can kind of talk to my daughters because they're on a different time zone. So there's like lunchtime and one's in the middle of her break. This is when I kind of give that room for that kind of stuff, workout, that kind of stuff. But then it's like I have a very structured way that I go into work and I have like an 8-hour work day where half the day I'm working on podcast things, half the day I'm working on consulting things. And it just works. It just works for me. And then again, having a structured time when I'm working. But as far as how I take care of the house, so I believe that the bathroom and the kitchen have to be cleaned 100% of the time, because I think about people coming to the door, and I've always been like this. This is how I was taught in my house. Because we had a full family, it's like the house could look lived in. We could not have a dirty house, but it could look lived in. Like, things couldn't be where they weren't supposed to be. But if it was a cup on the dining room table, which was like the walkway to the rest of the house, we just had a long, big house. That wouldn't bother you. Like, as long as at the end of the night, the cup couldn't stay there overnight, because you reset your house at night. Like, you reset your body, you reset your house at night. So we wash dishes every night. But two rooms that my mom didn't play with is the bathroom and the kitchen, because someone needs to be able to come to your house and use the bathroom, and it needs to be fresh, because it's a representation of how you take care of everything else, right? Yeah. So, and then they should be able to come in there and get a glass of water or a sandwich and feel safe that, you know what I mean, it's clean. So we just never play with the bat, but the rest of the house could kind of be in a form of disarray. But how I run the household is I do a load of laundry when I see a load of laundry. If there's a full load, it's getting done, because I'm in the house most days, right? I clean a room a day. So one room a day gets a lot of attention. And that's how I maintain.
So you clean every day?
I clean
without
every
fail.
Day. I clean every day.
Wow.
I clean every day. So the kitchen, I'm on top of the kitchen and the bathroom all the time. Like, if I see something, I clean something. Like, there's just a ritual around the way that I do that. But as far as the rest of the house, one bedroom, it's like, oh, I'm going to do the master bedroom today. And that means that, you know, if I feel like the blinds need to be wiped down or the windowsills need to be wiped down, that's happening. That kind of stuff happens kind of like on a quarterly basis. But I also, this is where things that enter my line of vision kind of get taken care of. So I'll say, like, say if I'm opening the windows, opening the shades, opening the curtains, and I'm like, oh, this windowsill is dusty, I'll get to that next week. It's happening next week when I really clean the mat. I'm not going to interrupt my schedule today, because I'm serious about what I have going on today. But when I say I'm going to clean the room next week, I'm going to break, that's going to be added to. And it's just a mental note that, oh, I'm going to do, or I washed the walls. Like, we washed walls coming up as kids because there were always fingerprints on the wall. So we had a weekly routine of washing down walls. So, you know, we kept a house at a certain level of cleanliness. And so when I see that something needs to be done, I just handle it. And that is what, as you know about me, I know you know this about me from being around me for several years, but my atmosphere is very, very, it has so much to do with my ability to produce and my attitude. You know, like, if the house is clean, when I'm in disarray, my thoughts are in disarray, my attitude is in disarray. Like, I can tell when I'm not right. I can tell when I'm not right. You can look around my life and say, oh, something's going on. You know, so, but that's kind of how my daily routine is. I kind of eat at the same time. I get the mail the same way. My life is one big routine. And so when I say 72 degrees, nice and breezy here, it's because I'm really comfortable in my routines. But even how this conversation got started is because I was talking to my daughters who want to be married. And I was saying, like, they grew up inside so much structure. Like, we eat at a certain time, and it's not regimented, like militant, but it's dinner time. And I noticed that other families, every family doesn't have that. Like, they just kind of graze. You know what I mean? But we ate at a certain time. We cleaned up at a certain time. Bedtime was a certain time. Homework got done at a certain time. And there was a little flexibility, but shouldn't you be doing homework right now? Like, isn't this that time? And that's just how my mind worked. So I'm excited about this temp check. I'm excited about this because I feel like you get to know me and my Howard Hughesness a little bit. In this episode.
This is the tip of the iceberg, though. I just want to warn you guys. You have no idea how deep this one goes. That'll be a whole nother episode with the title.
It will be. Well,
it'll be something involving the word germophobia. But
Let's get into the backstory, which is how your personal hygiene or self-care rituals reveal your relationship with yourself. And I love this.
I love this. This is why I wanted to do this episode, because you were saying it in the context of getting a man, which is something that I've never even thought about for one second of my life, because I was gay identified forever, or I was pansexual, I would say. So I would fall in love with people here and there, but getting a man is something that never crossed my mind. Men were the easiest to get, because men, it's like you can't keep them off you. And I wasn't particularly interested in them, but they were just like coming out of the wings. You know, men are everywhere. Finding a husband, though, is a completely different situation.
It but that I've also absolutely is.
Yes, because there's a difference between a hookup and a husband. So anyway, things I've never thought about, really, but just to preview where my mindset is at before I set it up so you can tell us what you were telling your daughters, I've never put any money or time or effort into my personal appearance. I don't get my nails done, really. In my later 30s and 40s, I would start to do it a little bit. Like, I'll do it for a wedding, or I'll do it if I'm going on vacation, just because I do like the way it looks. I always get just white nail polish. I don't do red or anything like that. But I've never had any personal hygiene rituals at all. I don't get waxed. I don't do my eyebrows. I don't do any of that. So all of my friends do all of these things. They're buying the wax packages. Mm-hmm. These things cost a fortune. I would just never do – I just can't ever see myself doing something like that. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me to do that, so I just don't do it. Nails just seem expensive, and it's a real commitment, because when you get that gel manicure, then it starts to grow out, and then you need to get it done again, and you can't take it off yourself. So it's like you're chained now to the nail salon every certain amount of time. It's expensive. So to me, I've never had a lot of money. So it just – I know people with less money still get these things done, and they prioritize it. But I've never done it. I don't have a skincare ritual. And it's really funny because 2 years ago, I got carded. So I was 39. I got carded for nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And people are always like, oh my God, you look so young. And I always say, this is my ongoing bit. I always say, do you want to know my secret? And then I say, trash your body with alcohol and drugs for almost 20 years. Tons of sun exposure, no sunscreen. Never drink water. Wash your face only with the shampoo that drips off your head. That's my skincare ritual.
You're so funny. How freaking hilarious. This is hilarious to me.
Well, just because that's what's true. I don't use expensive face products. I probably should now that I'm getting older, but I just don't know if I believe in that. But anyway, so I'm listening to you saying all these things, and even though I don't do it, it's really resonating with me. And it's almost inspiring me because, and I know I always talk about Joyce, but I'm going to use Joyce as an example again. Joyce always looks cute, and she's not very high maintenance, but it's just these little things she does. So this is what we were talking about yesterday. Yes, exactly the details. So let's say she does blow dry her hair every single day in the morning, okay? Blow dry my hair is something I do maybe once every 2 weeks, okay? So that's just a little simple thing to start with. She also always has jewelry, but it's really understated. So even if we're in the pool, she has like 4 bracelets that are just elastic, but they're high quality bracelets. They're beads, like gold beads on an elastic, but they look nice. And then she has earrings. She has multiple different earrings and different piercings, but they're always in. She wears them 24/7 and they're very cute. She's always got a necklace or two on. And then her nails always look pretty. So even if they're not done, they're usually done in a neutral color, but even if they're not done, they're always clean. They have maybe clear polish on them. She always has these little details going on. And then even if she's just wearing kind of like a relaxed fit thing or sweats, she still always looks adorable. And so I do see the value in it. And that's how I want to set it up, just as kind of the outsider perspective of this is so unfamiliar to me. So turning it over to you, tell us what you were telling me about how you're trying to set your daughters up for success.
So when I had a job, and you know, we had, you know, I had kids at home, they were going to high school or school, they saw me, this is what they saw in their mom. I did have a standing hair appointment every 2 weeks. I had a standing nail appointment every 2 weeks. I wore heels to work every day, so I dressed every single day. I was put together. They saw a mom that was put together all the time, right?
Yeah.
And they all always talk about how confident I am or how I've always been, how I could talk to anybody like I was charismatic and like I was a flirt. Like I never had a problem meeting a guy, but it was what for me, I wasn't trying to get married because I had kids at home and I wasn't going to bring someone in like in the ninth inning in the life of my children when I'm getting them off to college. Like, you're not going to interrupt this routine that we have going on. It's really good. Like, I'll focus on seriously dating after they've gone off to school, that kind of thing. That's where my head was. But what they saw with me was a very confident, put together woman.
Yeah.
A lot of women, they're like a younger generation and they don't have standing hair appointments. They kind of are into the natural thing. It's like just a different generation. They see things different. They approach things differently. So it's an entirely different thing. But remember I told you about my friend group, the girl group. You were not going to show up to an event at the girl group and be the one that doesn't have your nails done, whose outfit isn't on point, whose hair isn't on point. Like, you were going to be the level of done that is set up for you. That's normal for you, but you weren't going to be the girl that's undone. That's what you were not going to do, right? And so a lot of times, you know, as women, we put ourselves together for other women. You know, because we're not going to be the ugly one.
We does not include me. But undone is a really, I'm not identifying with that, but undone is a really interesting descriptor.
Yeah, so.
That stuck in my head for some reason.
Just unkempt, you know. And
well, I'm friends with a bunch of hippie granola people. So I don't know if I'm closer to your daughter's generation or your generation. I think we're 10 years off in either direction, but. My friends, a lot of them are super cute. I do have a lot of friends who get their nails done. And then I also have a lot of friends who wear no makeup and are just very hippie, crunchy granola.
Mm-hmm.
So there's zero expectation that you should ever have to show up any particular type of way.
But what I was explaining was, this is how I explained it. Like, to me, I don't feel like I'm a traditionally pretty person, like where I could just go around with my face undone or with no mascara.
Like in your pajamas and everyone's like, she's so adorable.
No, yeah. And there are people that are that pretty that they could just walk around
definitely.
Looking any
they could
kind
wear
of
like
way.
Sweats and Uggs yep. and look so smoking hot.
And pull it off.
Or Tim's. Yes.
I was never that girl. I was the girl that I feel like there are some hands that look just sleek and nice, and you just have great nail beds. I have great nail beds, but
I
you
do
have
too. Actually.
Great nail beds, and you have sleek fingers. I don't have sleek fingers. I feel my fingers.
People would kill for these feet.
Like, oh my
god, nail salon ladies. Whenever I do go, oh my god, when I go to the nail salon, like it's almost like they're like whispering to each other about how perfect my feet are.
I never had pretty feet. So I felt, remember we talked about me getting bunionectomies? Like, are you kidding
yes.
me?
Yes.
So I yes. did, but my thing was I did the work. Like, I don't have traditionally pretty feet, but you, when you look down at these puppies, they're going to capture your attention because they're together. You can tell that I care. You know what I mean?
Yes.
My toes are well manicured. My fingers are well manicured. My fingers look like little snossages to me. But I have nice nail beds. So because of that, I keep my nails manicured.
You're working with what God gave you is like
that's
the,
it.
The
that's
phrase
the whole
that's coming
conversation.
To mind.
That's yes. the whole conversation. Work with what you have. And I said, we don't have perfect
message.
Bodies. I'm not tall and statuesque.
No.
I wish
me neither.
I was. But I knew how to dress my body. So I've always gotten complimented on the way that I showed up for work.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, how do you wear heels all the time? Because I knew that I'm short and I wanted to be like 5'9", 5'10", 11. That would have been my dream, you know?
You would be like Venus Williams.
Not even kidding you. And own the room. I own the room at
5'6".
You'd be
owning it. You'd be owning it.
So but it was just that. So they were comparing, contrasting how put together I've always been. And I told them, I said, you don't have to put in all that work. You don't have to be the person in the nail salon every
week. Or the heels.
You don't have to be in heels. You don't have to have a standing hair appointment.
It's the details.
It's the details. And even if I'm your girlfriend, it's telling me stuff. It's telling me how you take care of you.
Yeah.
And so I want you to be cognizant of that. I want the women in my life to be cognizant of that. And if I could share anything with this generation, it would be that, like, you don't have to be done up because someone else is done up. Be done up in what that means for you. What's comfortably right. done up for you so that you feel confident. A lot of people talk about how I could speak to anyone in any room and just, you know, just have conversation. But it's because I feel good about myself. And so now I'm free to be 100% present because I'm not trying to hide my nails. I'm not trying to hide this piece of my hair that's not right. I'm not trying to hide my clothing that's not fitting right. No, all of that stuff is taken care of. So I'm 100% present. And if there's a cute guy in the room that I want to flirt with, I can say, don't make eye contact, boy. Don't do it.
Because I love your pickup lines. Tell us what you told me yesterday.
For real. I'm about
this life
for real.
Tell me what you told your daughters as flirting advice of what you would do if you saw a cute guy in the room.
I don't even remember.
You just what you said. You were like, don't you look at me,
don't,
boy.
Don't make eye contact. I'm serious about this.
Oh, no. And then it was the vacation thing. Oh, why didn't you take me on your vacation? What
That's
was it,
actually
like that?
How I met Sandy.
Oh, right.
I was in that space of, and Sandy is the family. Sandy is the contact person for the family that I'm connected to here in Indiana. They're amazing. The whole family is amazing. But years
ago.
Tell
us that story of how you met. Yeah.
Years and years ago, a friend of mine and one of my close friends, we went to a Clipper game, had total ulterior motives for going to the Clipper game.
Clipper game, meaning the largest crowd you could ever imagine. And you're going to find a man. You're going to find a man somehow.
And did.
The biggest, most anonymous crowd, yeah.
And did. But anyway, so we had a whole reason for going to the club. We bought tickets. We got cute. Everything was get cute, girl, and I'll get the tickets. And so we went to the game. And it was funny because I ended up on this mezzanine floor. I don't know why I was there. And I saw this very handsome, very tall, but this guy was fine. And he was talking to some people at like a booth, a timeshare booth on the mezzanine. And he was talking about just having come from Las Vegas. And I walked up and I was like, well, why didn't you take me? And he said,
you just inserted yourself.
I really did, in the middle of these people's conversation. And but I knew I looked good. And I knew if I could get his attention, I could keep it. And
oh,
did.
Oh, my gosh.
That was 2006.
Okay. So you walked up and you said, why didn't you take me? And then what did he say?
And he said, he looked me up and down and he said, if I had known you, I would have certainly taken you. And I said, well, we can rectify that right now. Oh. We can rectify that right now.
What?
And yes. And that was the beginning of amazingness for about
so
5
Sandy's,
years.
Sandy's smooth.
He just fell right
it up,
into it.
Right
and
there
so
in that.
Funny
yeah. In
because
that,
even
yeah.
now in the stage we're in, it's not like what it was back then, but in the stage that we're in, we still have this amazing banter. It's an amazing banter that we have between us. And so, but what makes that possible is having my feeling confident that I put myself
yeah,
together
confidence.
Before I stepped out of the house.
That's right. That's right.
And I always say one of my statements has always been confidence is the sexiest thing a woman could ever put on.
100%.
You notice I didn't say anything about name brands and all these stupid surface things. I didn't say anything about name brands. I didn't say anything about, you know, it's whatever your level of done is so that you can be 100% of yourself when you step into whatever room you're in or outside of your home. And that's what I want for every woman.
And she takes a bow, 'cause she's the center of attention now, and she feels good about it. But I'm avoiding eyes every time that I'm out.
I want to transition us into the life focus question. Mm-hmm. Finding the divine in your everyday slash, so there's a slash here, creating rituals that honor your body and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't prioritize my physical appearance, I do very much identify and have experienced what you're saying. So when on the days where I do blow dry my hair or straighten my hair or even sometimes do a beach wave in my hair, I feel so much more open to the universe.
Yes.
So much more open to interaction. I feel like I'm walking on clouds. I really do. So even if I don't do it, I don't know why for me that doesn't translate into doing it more often. That's what's really weird is when you think about that in terms of the sacred. So to me, that sounds kind of mundane. I think, you know, I know so many women that go to the nail salon all the time and it's like, okay, but I think I'm revising the way that I think about it because in this God language, and I'm using my own interpretation of God because God is a very loaded word, but when I think about that phrase, who God would have me be, right? That would be, and then just another way of conceptualizing spirituality in general is called the high self, the highest self. So I think of all of these things as interchangeable, right? I could think of it as my highest self. I could think about it as the universe, but the most divine expression of myself will be the one that's, I think, the most confident and the most showing up and the most joyful. So if I feel more like showing up and I feel more joyful and I feel more confident and therefore able and willing to be friendly and forthright and be myself, my truest expression of myself, when I am done up to whatever level I feel comfortable being done up. So for me, that might just mean a very simple nail. I like a white gel manicure. I love it. I do my own toes because I'm just cheap in that way. I'm just cheap. Like, I don't want to spend a certain amount at the nail salon. So I'm just like, okay, I have that same exact, it's called Alpine White. That's my favorite nail polish. And maybe Alpine Snow. It's something like that. It's just white. And so I do that when on my nails because I have lighter skin. So I just can't really mess with color too much. It doesn't really always work. And then a gel manicure is a real commitment. So, but when I have those white nails, I really like that. Sometimes I usually don't wear makeup on most days, but some days, like today, because I was going out to the car wash and I was thinking about this episode, I put on just the tiniest amount of eyeliner and mascara. That's all I ever do. I hate lipstick. You know what? You know, lipstick makes me feel like a drag queen. So I'll never do lipstick, lip gloss, even chapstick on my lips. I'm like, ugh, get it off. Like, it just, that's not me. So I do have kind of hard lines about certain things, but I think that it might benefit me. Like, the other day I went out and I bought gold hoops because I wanted an earring that I could wear 24/7. Now, it didn't work out because my ear just even still reacted to the 14 karat gold. I ended up having to return them. But I was thinking about how it would be really nice to just be slightly adorned in my own personal style. And that my last thought on that is that when I went to, I feel like I talk about Joyce every single episode. I hope you guys love Joyce. Someone, the one who texted
this
me about
this is hilarious.
The one who texted me that I have ADHD, who told me I'm going to change your life and told me I have ADHD. She told me that she loves Joyce. And I love that she loves Joyce because Joyce is a truly outstanding person. But at her wedding, we ended up paying to do the professional makeup and the professional hair. And that's the first time I had ever gotten the fake eyelashes. Mm-hmm. And I felt so hot. I felt like straight, I'm Pink. Like the singer Pink. I had this hairstyle that looked like I was wearing like I had a mohawk. Like, I made it my own. I had this updo that was like all curls, but it had a high lift on the top. And then it was just all these curls pinned up everywhere. But I looked so good. And I felt so confident. And then I had this totally different relationship with Herschel. Like, I felt like, let's head off to the bathroom, you know, like I was like a new person. I was adventurous, and I just, it opened up this whole new me. And it's just funny because talking to you, I'm realizing that what
I've lived
saying,
my life like that.
Yes. And I have not lived my life like that because of a false value system where I have deprioritized, if that's a word, the superficial. But maybe I've been calling it the wrong thing, and that there is something sacred about adorning your temple or whatever the equivalent of that is, that it makes you, if it can give you that little personality, or not personality, but the confidence boost, then you're living at a higher energy vibration. Like, I do like that idea of vibrating at a higher frequency. And I really feel like I'm vibrating at a higher frequency when I am put together a little.
And I, so imagine me. I worked in dental labs, which are dusty and nasty. People wore jeans, flats, tennis shoes. I mean, it was like a business casual for those of us that were on the phones and meeting dentists. But business cash is like, I don't know, khakis and a polo, right?
Yeah.
You know I would never put those on my body.
No.
So I was like, okay, you can, Miss Lady, wear khakis and a polo. I would never. Because that doesn't make me feel my best. Like, I don't feel attractive. I don't feel put together enough to leave the house for me. And what I'm saying is, even with my daughters are not those girls that are going to wear heels every day. They're just not going to do it. One wears a uniform for work, right? But what I was saying was, you know, I want you, she's already charismatic. She, my youngest, she's a mini me. When I say a mini me, she can talk to anybody. This girl is funny. She had me cracking up so long on the phone yesterday. So we are preparing for a cruise as a family. And so we're watching what we eat. We're, you know, focusing on getting our bodies bikini ready and all this and that, right? Even though the cruise isn't until April. But we're focusing on getting our... So I was sending my daughters a picture of my dinner plate, which was protein and vegetables. And somehow my toes, because I was holding the plate, somehow my toes got in the picture. And my daughter says, oh, Mom, your toes are cute. And I'm like, I didn't even look at it that... It's just my daughter's.
The details,
you know how, you know,
though.
But you see what I mean about the details. Yes. What if that picture was going out to someone else and then my toes weren't put together? And then I had to edit them out. You understand what I'm saying?
So it just reflects well on you that you have that attention to detail.
Yes. And that's what I want for every woman. And it's not about, like, I do my own feet. When I was in California, yes, I had a standing appointment, but I also had an issue over the last couple years before I left California. I had an issue, and I know this is going to sound weird, but I had an issue spending money with people that would never spend money with me as an entrepreneur. And so I learned to do my own manicures and pedicures because I'm like, would this lady ever have a standing appointment with me if I did lashes or if I, and she would not. And so for me, I wanted to take my money out of a system that would never spend their money with me. And I know it's weird, but it's me thinking as an entrepreneur. And so
were in that entrepreneur group, I feel like you were more in almost like a bartering community, like where everybody was interdependent on each other and trading services. So it's not that weird to me.
Yeah, so for me, I learned to do my own. So I'm confident with my own manis and pedis. I really can't do nail color on my nails, but I'm perfectly fine with having my nails nicely manicured, nicely shaped, making sure my cuticles are cleaned up. I love
clear
cuticle
polish.
Oil on every couple of days to make sure, because when you look at them, you can tell that my cuticles are well taken care of, and I'm just have on clear polish. That's it. It's really simple, but when you look down, you're pleasantly surprised at what you see. It doesn't have to be all the adornment with the things hanging from the nails. I've never been that person that did a full set. I've had a full set twice in my life.
Designs and stuff.
But how for you, 52 years of living.
Yeah. How for you does that relate to the sacred or the divine?
It's because I get to show up as the best version of myself. I get to be present. I feel like presence is it's just lacking in today's society. So people are always trying to pretend or hiding something or whatever. But I feel like presence is a superpower today. And when I show up in a room, because I know that I'm confident in the way that I'm put together, the confident in the way that I smell, I'm confident in the way that, you know, when you look at me, you're not turning around like, oh, well, that's unattractive. You know, not that it's like, oh, even though I'm a thicker girl, it's like, oh, hi. And I'm like, how you doing? You know, you're going to get all of the extras,
you know, just because
you gave me the hello, you know?
Yeah.
But, and it's not me putting on, it's me being present and me just in my way representing the sacred, you know? And so I just want representing the divine.
And it's, honoring. That's it's the honor. Word that keeps coming to mind. Like you're honoring
your temple,
you're honoring this moment because you're showing up fully within this moment. And then as a result of inhabiting the fullest expression of yourself, you're also by default honoring others.
Yes.
Because and you're I think open. About, there's no hangups. You're not caught up in yourself.
No.
Yeah. You're not blocked.
So if you invited me to an event with your girlfriends, it's not, I don't think about, oh, do I want to show this person up? I want to make sure I'm the best. No, I just want to be put together for my way so that when I'm there, your friends are going to have an amazing time with me because I'm 100% present. I can be, yeah. I can participate in
it's
the conversation.
It's a form of freedom because you don't have the baggage of hiding anything or feeling insecure about anything.
Nothing.
You're unfettered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Now, I just have one additional question.
Okay.
Because I suspect, and I'm not sure if this is true for your daughters or not, but I suspect that they might share my challenge of actually knowing how to dress. I'm not sure if that's the case for them, but I'll just speak for myself. Part of what holds me back from wearing cute outfits, like how a lot of my friends do, is I don't know how to do it. I've never, mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger, my friends would all, I think my friends learned it all from magazines. So when we were younger, my friends were always reading 17 magazine and YM was a big one. And then later Vogue and Cosmopolitan. And I think that they were, I was also reading those things, but I was reading them more for the articles, not Vogue. I never did it. Like when it was 17 magazine and YM, I was being indoctrinated with horrible brainwashing as a female with these articles about how to make yourself invisible or whatever, please a man. I didn't absorb any of it, like most of it, hopefully. But yeah, I don't know how to do it. So that's why whenever I have to actually put together an outfit because I have to show up somewhere, a wedding in particular is really challenging for me, I always have to go to my friend's house. And I have to ask them, and it's always Joy's, if I can A, borrow something from their closet, B, borrow their shoes, C, borrow their bags. I don't own any bags or nice shoes or anything like that. But even if I did have nice shoes, like over the years, I've obviously owned some different shoes, but I wouldn't know how to put them together with a dress. So what do you do if you're in that situation?
I just learned how to dress my body. And when you hear me say, I love my legs, this is what I talk about. You know, I have friends that look good in a pair of jeans, like just look amazing in a pair of jeans. And I'm like, if I had that body, I'd wear jeans every day too. You go, girl, right? But I don't. I don't have that look amazing in a pair of jeans body. But let me tell you what I look good in, a dress. I could rock a dress. I could rock a skirt because these heels and these legs I'm going to grab your attention, right? But so it was just about knowing how to dress your body. You were
but
shorter.
But how do you know?
You're short. You try things. And this is what I'm talking about, talking to my daughters about. You accentuate the thing. What part of your body do you love? Okay. And I'm not saying put your dress, your breasts on, even though I went through my phase of that in my 20s and my 30s. I'm not going to lie. You know, they were on display. But I'm just saying, find the part that you love and accentuate that. So it might be, even though you're thicker, I was having this conversation recently. I said, you're thicker, but you don't have any back fat. I said, for me, I would have things that either that accentuate that. I'm not saying your back has to be out all the time, but there is a way to draw attention to the areas that you actually like and away from the areas that you don't. And you as an individual have a responsibility, especially if you're trying to get attention out here, a responsibility to learn how to do that for you. And it might be with Amazon, like literally you can buy a $20 outfit and see if it works. If it doesn't work, send it back and try something else.
I have to push back on you about this, and we're running out of time, so I have three very small little comments. Number one, Amazon. I've never bought anything on Amazon that I've kept. I have such horrible luck with online shopping. I do think that
I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon and love it.
I have
it.
No luck with it. I really do think this is a skill that people have or they don't, and I'm not saying that it can't be cultivated because I am getting better at it over time now that I've started to put effort into it. I still don't understand it, but I'm going to give you two examples of me trying to accentuate things and failing at it. Mm-hmm. So number one, when I was in college, so as I said, I have amazing abs. Not really anymore, but when I was younger, I just always had basically a six-pack all the time. My abs are amazing. So
what
I would do is I would wear a lot of mesh shirts.
Oh my gosh, mesh.
That's probably not what anyone would recommend because that's not a good look. But that in my mind at that time was how to accentuate my amazing abs. And then I was a member of that anti-fraternity society in college called Eclectic. And when I got into Eclectic, because there's this whole application process and you have to be like cool enough to get in, but really I just knew people, they told me, or they said in the log, I think someone else told me, that it's written in their book that they said she can only be admitted if she stops wearing so many mesh shirts.
That is hilarious.
So
that's
that was a total hilarious. Total fail. And then another time, I thought I was being so cute because I don't have nice legs. So I decided to settle upon these cargo shorts one day. And I was headed down to Merrill's house. And I had this really what I thought was a cute outfit. And I was wearing these little cargo shorts. And then I was wearing this tank top that I thought was kind of feminine because I have really nice shoulders. I have no boobs whatsoever, but I have amazing shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing this thing that should accentuate my shoulders. And then I showed up at her house and she said, "Oh, you decided to only get dressed on top?"
Oh, that's
so they didn't
hilarious.
Match. Like the thing on top was sort of fancier.
Right.
And then the thing on the bottom was like super cash and boy.
Right.
So yeah, I just have no idea what I'm doing. So
this is where good friends, girlfriends.
Yeah. I mean,
I call them good Judies. This is where good Judies come in, where you say, like someone said recently, like, "I'd be willing to go to H&M with you," to someone that I know. "I'd be willing to go to H&M with you and just help you pick out a couple of good outfits."
Because I realize
to
you have
point
fashion
that you
blindness.
Feel. But no, because fashion it's blindness. About you feeling comfortable. Like, you always compliment what I wear, but maybe what I wear won't work for you.
Oh,
but we can find
wear
what
never
works
work for, me in
for
a million
you.
Years. Are you kidding me?
You know? Yeah. And so, and it's just having someone that you feel safe with.
I need help.
With.
I need support. I can't do it alone.
Yeah. You got to do it. So let's go really quickly into these recipes. Mine is
in
really
two
simple.
Minutes or less. Mine's also yep. very fast. So the recipe okay. today is morning ritual bowl, something that makes ordinary mornings feel sacred.
Mm-hmm. And mine would be I love a sausage, veggie and egg bowl, just a scramble where I take like potatoes O'Brien, already frozen potatoes O'Brien, and throw those on a griddle with some sausage of whatever kind. It can be the Polish sausage, or it could be regular sausage patty. Where you don't make the patty, you just kind of let it crumble over the griddle and then mix in lots of vegetables. And then, so again, my tomatoes, onion, bell peppers, and mushroom are my favorites to do with this. And then at the end, I'll scramble at the very, very last of it. I'll throw two eggs over there and work it all together. And that's my morning ritual bowl. And it makes me happy. It's very filling. It's very hearty. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with it. Just a little bit of salt and pepper. Nothing extra on the seasoning. Salt and pepper.
Love
what about
that.
You?
So I don't have one. I can't ever just manufacture one if I don't have one. So I don't have a morning ritual because I don't eat breakfast. I don't have a morning breakfast ritual. I don't eat breakfast. So usually I don't really get hungry till 11 a.m. Also because I have no structure in my life, what I eat every day is completely different. But I have been eating breakfast recently. And so I'm just going to say that for me, what is sacred is always to eat what my body's calling for in this moment. So what I had for breakfast yesterday felt extremely sacred to me because what it was is it was vanilla bean, Greek yogurt, and peaches. And peaches are in season. And I always feel really, really good and really in tune with the universe when I'm eating something that's in season because it has less of a carbon footprint and it's so fresh. So these peaches, they were yellow peaches. They were perfectly ripe. And I just threw them right into a bowl of yogurt and I shared it with my daughter. And so it had that extra element of connection and love to it. And other days, what's calling to me is sometimes a corn tortilla. This is not a bowl, but a corn tortilla. And then I just smash avocados into it and with a fork and just put a tiny bit of salt. And my former partner from California gave me that idea. And she's Mexican. Yeah. And it just is so incredibly delicious and so simple.
Just I've never done avocado with a tortilla. I love avocado toast.
Oh, it's so good. You would love it because you love corn tortillas. Yes. So that's it. It's just whatever my body's calling for that day. And that's what I have. And that's what's sacred to me is just being open to whatever the moment calls for.
I love that. I love that. Okay, well, yeah. This has been yet another amazing... Well, this has been a great conversation with you, Jen. I hope that we were able to touch on all of the things. And I just hope that our listeners can really, really just learn us a little bit more and understand how our brains work and how we're growing in the process.
That's a scary thing.
Be great on purpose.
Have a great 24. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes the world hypnotizes me. And I love flashy wave. That's why I broke you so big. Biggie. I think Biggie. Bye-bye, fingerling. Bye-bye, chichua. Bye-bye, dumb-bye-dumb. Bye-bye, sun-gun-chu-cha. Bye-bye, chingaba. Bye-bye, falala. Leave. Leave, mama. Leave!